And now it's time for Crocheting with Ron. Wait, that can't be right. Now it's time for Okay. Now it's time for Crotchety Old Ron. That makes much more sense. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, whatever.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Hey, thank you. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show, I think. I'm not too sure anymore. So sit back, relax. I'll take it from here. I'm like Greyhound bus lines. I'll drive the bus. You just sit in the back of the bus and shut up. I love this. People call me crotchety. I don't know how my personality has anything to do with my crotch, but apparently it does. I'm not crotchety. I just don't stand for things that frustrate me. I don't find any great affinity to things that screw me up. So I guess you could call that crotchety. I consider it more to be well aware and well informed. Where's Rodney King when you need him? Now, some generations will say, I don't know who Rodney King is. Is he on the CBS Morning News? No, that's Gail King, and it's a female. No, I'm talking about Rodney King. He famously said, as he was beaten up by other people on the street, he said, why can't we all get along? And you know, he didn't say it exactly like that, but that was the gist of it. And it's true, Rodney, why can't we all get along? What's the problem with us? What about our human nature makes us so combative? What's that about? Are we so bored with our lives that we have to create drama? I think so. Oh, woe is me. I am woe. When I sit back and I look at humanity, I'm greatly disappointed. What happened to human beings? Fact is, they never got their act together, ever. Our history is full of wars and anger and punishment and... Why? There's a study out today. Thank you very much for your indulgence. There's a study out today by some place. It doesn't even matter. If I name the university or the study group, what the hell difference does it make? Don't even worry about that. Study group says that if you're an optimist, you're going to live longer than as if you're a pessimist. Well, looks like my life has been shortened by quite a bit. It also says that you can avoid Alzheimer's disease, keep your brain cognitive if you have a positive outlook on things. Again, I'm in deep doo-doo. You use that analogy, you have a glass and there's liquid in it. And the question is the glass half empty or is it half full? And... if you say the glass is half full, you're an optimist and you'll live for 600 years. If you say the glass is half empty, like all of us cheap bastards do, then you're a pessimist, and your time is almost up. See, it's not that I'm a pessimist. I just like things for value, you know? Half empty would be you didn't fill it up all the way. What's wrong with you? It's a glass. I ordered the drink. You only filled it halfway. What am I, a pessimist now? No, I'm looking out for my good value on what you call the drink. It's the optimists that seem to be the idiots. I'd like a drink, please. All right, here. Oh, boy, it's half full. That's all I really want. I'm happy. No, you're an idiot because you ordered a drink and they didn't fill it up all the way and you didn't complain about it. You were happy with half a glass. As a matter of fact, you're optimistic because you only got half a glass. See, that doesn't fly. That analogy is just stupid. Obviously, these people who came up with the analogy never ordered a drink in a restaurant. Or never got home from the supermarket and opened up a bottle of water and say, wait a minute, it's not a full bottle. Am I a pessimist? No, I'm stating the obvious. I bought a full bottle. I only got half. Am I a pessimist? No, I'm looking for value. I got screwed. Come on. It's the optimist that, look, there's only, look, half a bottle of water. I love it. I paid for a whole bottle of water, but I only got a half, and I love it because I'm an optimist. Okay, whatever. Lousy analogy. It really has to do with, are you happy in life? Do you hug life? Do you are you enthralled by it? Can you not wait for another day so you can experience the very things that you experienced the day before even better? I don't know. That's an optimist. If you're walking around going, it's another day, I hate my life, or I wish I could die, that might be a pessimist to some extent. Call me crazy, I think the definition is kind of obvious. Either you want to live, or you don't care too much about that. There's your definition right there. If you embrace life, fine. Now, do you have to embrace people in order to be an optimist? No, no. You're a realist. You know the people suck. And they do. Come on. It says it on T-shirts. Well, I saw one T-shirt that said people suck, and I wanted that T-shirt. But then I realized advertising the fact that people suck, where does that get me? What's the point of that? That's pessimism. But they do. Going back in time, I mean, my God, the cavemen and, of course, the cave women, let's include them, all they did was sit in a cave and draw on the wall. And they didn't have any words, so they just drew pictures. They were all like three-year-olds with a box of crayons. That's all they could do. The other thing would be to get into physical arguments. Hey, that's my seat in the cave. No, I've been sitting in that seat in the cave for a long time. That's my corner. No, it's not. And a war breaks out and somebody gets hurt. And that's just instinctive. See, that's human being instinctive, to protect your space and not to be invaded mentally or physically from your space, from what's yours. That's the thing that's been driving us through these millenniums of centuries of things. And by the way, dinosaurs and human beings never lived at the same time. Flintstones is not a documentary, it's a cartoon. That's the one thing I learned in college that stuck with me. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought dinosaurs, because I saw Jurassic Park and they're like living together. No, the dinosaurs were recreated from the past in the movie, you see. No, they never lived at the same time. You mean people weren't running from dinosaurs like in the movies? No. May I call you a schmuck? Because no, they didn't. Our human history is riddled with wars for territory, or because someone got threatened that their world was going to change or something like that. But it's basically territory. I want it all for myself. I want the power. I'm hungry for power. I'm hungry for control. Watch out for these people. It's one thing to want a piece of the pie. It's another to want the whole pie. Because there's other people that want to eat too. You shouldn't have the whole pie to yourself. You should have a good number of pieces, but not the whole pie. Save the pie for some other people. Why don't you? Do you have a soul at all? Even fish have souls, like fillet of sole. You heard of that fish? Ron, there's no such fish as fillet of sole. It's what you do to the fish. Oh, and I suppose dinosaurs and humans didn't live at the same time, huh? Do you know that we used to think that the earth was flat? Now we have pictures. The earth was never flat. But there are some groups that still live on this planet to this day who think the world is really flat and this is a big conspiracy. These people need to be removed. I don't know where they're going to go, but they need to be removed. Remember when they were announcing the first space mission to Mars and they were looking for volunteers to start a whole new life on Mars and to grow a civilization on the red planet? I don't know who volunteered, but I felt like sending in a list of people that I wished would do it to get them off this planet, please. And those would be the conspiracy people. Put them in a rocket ship. I don't care where they go. Send them to the sun. They'll love that. Sun's not that hot. That's a conspiracy. People, they're just making you scared that the sun is hot. Oh, okay. Why don't you go find out and let me know? We don't get along. We don't get along. There are a number of wars going on right now as we speak. Well, as I speak, you're not speaking right now, but I'm speaking, and there are a number of wars going on right now. And what are they for? Territory. This is my land. I want this land. It's God-given. All right, whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know if it works that way. But it's difficult. It's just difficult. Both sides are hurt, and yet the war goes on. This is what we are. This is what we are. We're like bullfighting. You know, kill the bulls just for fun. Why? What are you doing? Why? What, the Christians and the Lions? I mean, aren't those two football teams? Wait a minute. And we use those kind of terms when we're in sports. Yeah, I'm gonna kill this. I'm gonna kill this sport. I'm gonna annihilate the other team. Oh my God! Don't do that. You know, I grew up. I was young, but I grew up in the hippie days. I guess I was a hippie. I had the long hair. I still do. Because it was love and peace. Who wouldn't join in on that campaign? Why would you not? No, I prefer war and famine and pestilence. I can't spell petulance, but I think I know what it is. I prefer that to love and peace. What? What? Why? Why are you here then? I don't know. Our stories are full of violence as well. Yeah. Everything is full of violence. Our video games are full of violence. We get obsessed with crimes. We're watching television shows about solving crimes and murders and slayings. In this country, and basically kind of only in this country, do we have mass murders on a regular basis. Something must be wrong. We haven't had a mass murder in a few days. Well, we're going to have to get on that. This country is kind of weird, too. I mean, there was the human race when we went back to the Wild West days when there were no police departments. There was basically no governments to any great extent, just figureheads within them. But there were no police departments. Military was nil or naught. we had the Wild West with gunslingers and sheriffs, and that was about it. And everybody walked around with guns because that was the way to survive. Well, we're not in those times anymore, and nobody changed the Constitution accordingly. Well, now we have police departments, we have military, we have rules, we have laws, we have states, we have government. Whether you like it or not, we do. There's some semblance of order, but we fuck it up with the guns. As I've said before on this show, we're human beings. This is the human race, but we never quite got it right. And we still don't know what we're doing with that. There's a select group of a few who want everything to be love and peace. And yet we struggle in order to get that. We try to point out that the planet, which is the only place we have to live. I mean, you can dream as much as you want. This is it. This is it. This is all we got. You don't make this planet existable. It don't exist. I don't know how it got here, but we're existing on it and we're screwing it up minute by minute. And some people recognize it and say, you know, we got to do something about this. Can we talk about this and do this in unison? But most people say, look, I'm comfortable now. I don't care if there's crap all over the place. I like the crap. All right. And this is where we draw the line. So, are you an optimist or a pessimist? Kind of doesn't matter. But you got to embrace some aspect of life. You've got to love it. You got to be a part of it. I don't care how old you are. Well, I do for sexual purposes, but I don't otherwise care how old you are. But you have a history. Even if you're 20 years old, you had a childhood. If you were 30 years old, you had a pretty good life experience so far. If you're in your 50s, you can actually look back and say, was my life satisfactory and worth living? And you better say yes. Look at the things that gave you great pleasure. Not the struggles, but the comforts, the enjoyments, the things in life that put a smile on your face. You know those things that put a smile on your face? Do them more often. Make them happen. You can do that. You can laugh more. You can do things that give you joy. Don't wait for somebody else to give you joy. Give yourself some joy. You know the things you like to do. Do them, as long as they're legal. Let's be clear about that. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody. That should be the rule of law. You know, it can do anything that makes you happy as long as it doesn't hurt somebody. Kind of simple. I think it was Aretha Franklin who said, Where's the fruit tray that I ordered in my dressing room? And she also said, she did a song called Respect. Now, I don't know if she wrote it, but she sure sang it. And I think she said in interviews that she actually believed it. Respect is a word that should be underlined 5,000 times. If you have respect, you kind of can't go wrong. All the other aspects of personality and of unity and being social, they all fall into place. If you start with respect on the top, everything else falls into place. Now, it sounds like I'm pontificating. I'm not the Pope. It sounds like I am, but I'm not. I have my own wardrobe. But I've been around a while. And I'm telling you, it doesn't take much to figure things out. It really doesn't. Sit back, stop running around and being so crazy and so dramatic. Sit back. Relax. Sort it out. If we all sat back, relaxed, and sorted it out, I think we'd be in better shape all across the globe. But even if you have most of the people on this planet doing the peace and love thing, oh, it only takes a few nasty, devilish people to screw it up. Do you know why? Because a lot of us on this planet, not including myself or you certainly, but a lot of us are gullible, gullible's an evil thing, where you give your soul up for something else because you've been roped into it. You can be manipulated. That's not good. Don't be manipulated anymore. Stop listening to other people or what other people are telling you about something. And make your own decisions. Let your soul take the place of being a puppet to something else. And those are my words of wisdom for today. My guest today is kind of going to follow on the same lines, because one thing I can't understand is hatred for another race or another people. I mean, there are some people I don't like, but I don't say that, well, I don't like the entire social ramification of this one person. I don't like Bob. Why don't you like Bob? I just don't like it. He's a nasty, ridiculous person. And Bob happens to be Caucasian, so I hate all Caucasians now. There's something wrong with you. It makes no sense. You're a weird, screwed up individual. So, let's talk about that. Let's talk about hating groups because you may hate one person. Oh, ooh, ooh. We're going to do that. But first, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll tackle that subject matter as well. Okay? But first, before we do something like that, something as crazy as that, are you eating well? I don't think so.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy Cajun spice free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
Holly Huffnagel joins us now. She's U.S. Director of Combating Antisemitism at American Jewish Committee and the Global Advocacy Organization for the Jewish People. And we're talking about what's kind of getting weirder, and that's anti-Semitism. And I guess weirder isn't the proper, it's scarier is what it is. It just seems to be getting worse. Is that the way I'm seeing it, or is it actually happening?
That's definitely what we're experiencing, Ron. We've seen rising anti-Semitism in the United States, at least for the past 6 or 7 years, in Europe for the past 2 decades.
Wow.
And just in the last 2 months, almost an 1,100% increase around the world and a 400% increase here in the United States.
And of course, this goes for many groups that are feeling this problem. But the American Jewish is just like crazy. I don't understand what's going on. Also, here's what maybe you can help me with this: colleges and universities. There is very high incidence of these situations. But I thought that younger people were kind of more accepting and grew up in a world of acceptance with others as opposed to prior generations. So how is that happening at universities? I don't understand that.
This is an exact conundrum, an exact question. So it actually speaks to the unique nature of anti-Semitism and how anti-Semitism is different and a different form of hate and prejudice. So yes, young people are more accepting. We have studies that show that. Thankfully, Jews are no longer discriminated against. They no longer face the same levels of prejudice they did in the 40s, right, 50s, 60s in the United States. Much more accepting and welcoming. However, we also have data that shows rising levels of conspiratorial anti-Semitism, beliefs about Jewish power or control, manipulation, some of these terms that actually this resource we're publishing today describes, because we have data that shows young people, especially those who've grown up online, on social media, aren't able to necessarily see, truth from conspiracy theory are more likely to hold these beliefs. And that's actually what's scary.
Yeah, I agree. Social media has a lot of benefits, but the evils seem to be outweighing at this point, and that's not a wonderful thing for the future or even for now, certainly. And then, of course, we have the Israeli-Hamas war that I hope doesn't go on too much longer, but, that was adding fuel to the fire, wasn't it?
Absolutely. We know from historical patterns, when we look at when anti-Semitism rises over time, that there are at least three times where we can say that anti-Semitism might rise, and that is around Jewish holidays, that is around election cycles and during elections, and it's when there's an uptick in violence in the Middle East. And so when October 7th happened, when those horrific terrorist attacks happened by Hamas, it was only a matter of time, unfortunately, before the global Jewish community and global Jewish institutions were attacked. And that's exactly what we saw.
It's very odd. It's like the Russian and Ukrainian situation. They're kind of the same people, and it's same with the Palestinians and Israel. They're kind of the same people. That just rings so odd to me. It's hard to understand.
It's a complex situation, and of course, at AJC, we advocate for Palestinians to have their own state, for Israelis to have their own state, and for Jews to have their own state, since Jews and are indigenous to the land of Israel as well. And yet we see the misunderstandings about that and the repercussions on Jewish communities in the United States. And one of the reasons why we published Translate Hate, this glossary of terms and tropes, is to help unpack that complexity and help people today, not on social media, actually have a factual resource they can use to wade through some of the difficulties they're seeing.
Yes. Well, I mean, hate is as intense as love is, unfortunately, and just putting the emphasis on the wrong part of that equation. You have something called the Translate Hate Glossary. Tell me what that is.
So we have actually published this. It's a glossary. It's a resource. It has almost 60 terms, tropes, phrases that are anti-Semitic or can become anti-Semitic in certain contexts. And we first published this glossary, Ron, in 2019, about 1 year after the worst anti-Semitic attack in our history in the United States, which was at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because we realized that many Americans actually don't know what anti-Semitism is. They might recognize a hatred towards Jews, but there's so much more that often it goes under the surface. So we created a first iteration in 2019. We've published it. This is our third time adding terms to this glossary as anti-Semitism is changing so we can continue to educate the public.
Okay. Can you give me some examples of it?
Of course. So in the glossary right now, you'll find terms such as dual loyalty, control. You have things like Nazi symbols. That one just came out today. We know what that is. We can recognize it, but it will help us explain that history, that background. There's phrases that we're seeing in popular culture right now, actually with regards to the Hamas-Israel war, phrases like from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. What does that mean in context, and how can it become anti-Semitic? So we unpack that. We give the history. We provide images. And it's a very user-friendly glossary so people can know how to recognize anti-Semitism and speak out against it.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I mean, I break it down to its simplest components. Some people are just damn stupid. And I'm sorry to say that, but it just makes no sense to me as a human being how we're devolving at times. I thought we're going the other direction. But to wallow in it isn't the answer. The answer is what you're doing. And that's trying to explain and trying to pacify a situation that really goes nowhere otherwise.
You said it exactly right. And I think everyone has a role to play. It can be the American Jewish Committee doing this work, but we actually need all of society. This is a whole of society approach. Anti-Semitism is not a Jewish problem. It's a society problem. And so we're encouraging everybody to go to our website at ajc.org/translatehate to be able to download this glossary, read it, share it, because in order to actually counter this problem against the Jewish community and also hate against other communities as well, we have to start with understanding what it is. And that's what this glossary is for. And I hope other communities can actually develop glossaries such as this so we can all understand the pressures and persecutions others face as well. That's the only way we're going to heal our society.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you hate something, it's because you don't understand it. And
right.
If you do understand it, then it can change a little bit, at least. One more time, that website, please.
It's ajc.org/translatehate.
Perfect. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back next time a weekday rolls around, which could be rather soon. Man, Rodney King, why can't we get along? I don't know, Rodney. I just don't know. Anyway, I wish you peace.